All right, let's make our way into the second half, the back half of the podcast. Thank you guys all for subscribing, for tuning in. Please remember several key dates coming up, of course. Draft night, it's going to be the 6 to midnight Rich Keefe all-night draft show. You'll have Scheim, Hart, and Keefe in studio. You'll have Cadlick at location TBD. Yep. I will be at the stadium hosting the draft party and checking in with you guys, bringing you live analysis from the Pats fans as well. It's going to be absolutely spectacular. Lock it in, rip off the knob, and tell your friends they all should be tuned in as well. April 18th from 7 to 10 p.m. at Vitamin C, we'll be doing the fundraiser for Boston Children's Hospital in memory of Hallie Kide. If you need information on that, jump on over to my socials at FitzyGFY. It's going to be a great time for a great cause and a great man. All right, let's get to the other news, notes, nuggets, rumblings, and bumblings in Patriots Nation right now. The top 30 visits continue to pour into Gillette Stadium. Mike, Andy, I just read that Florida State tight end Jaheim Bell is visiting. Yep. What can you guys tell the listeners about him?
We actually haven't touched on the tight ends yet for Six Rings prospects, but what I know about Bell is that this isn't the only interest they've had in him. I believe they had a pre-draft interview with him at either the Combine or the Senior Bowl or one of these events. I forget which one. And I believe someone was at the Florida State Pro Day as well for Bell. So definitely interested in him as a tight end prospect to bring in. You know, we have Henry, we have Austin Hooper on the roster as well. But besides that, it's slim pickings in the tight end room. So you wonder when they actually address the position, whether it be in draft, whether they bring in somebody else off the free agent market. But they definitely have more than just one meeting, one sort of, I guess, arm of interest in Bell because they met with him before too.
Yeah, we've been saying this a lot on the prospect podcasts. Sneaky needs. Cornerback's a sneaky need. Tight end's a sneaky need. Running back's a sneaky need. I would say tight end, it's not a great class. It drops off dramatically after Brock Bowers. And when there might be a little run of the second tier could affect things dramatically. But it wouldn't stun me for the – I'd probably say a day three pick. I don't think they would address it in the first 2 days. Yeah. But a day three pick on tight end would not stun me because I think they've learned the lesson. I know it's a new regime, but the post-Gronk, oh, crap, we don't have tight ends. Now we got to overpay in free agency era. Trying to bring a young developmental guy in while you have Henry, while you have Hooper, to try to, you know, Belichickian style, year too early, don't scramble later.
Right.
I think that's part of this process.
What I like, and I think our pal Mike Dussault in his latest mock for Patriots.com had, I believe, out of Kansas State, Ben Sinnott.
Yeah, fullback slash tight end. I have no problem with that.
Yeah, what are you, 6'4", 250?
I'm losing my mind. We did.
I was going to say, I don't know what happened.
You guys did backs and tight ends recently.
Yeah,
you
we
guys,
did. I don't know what I'm talking about. It's the clips. It's the sun. I shouldn't even be here on Pat's Puri. I should just go. But
yeah, I wouldn't mind if Sinnott was the guy either as well. Looks like, you know, high athletic score, good experience. But yes, I think the key, again, just like with whatever quarterback they take, all these guys can play. It's really the system and the coaches and the time that they spend developing and maturing him. All these tight ends, these are big athletic bodies as well. It's the system and the people you surround them with. And if you can get somebody like Hunter Henry, who, how many years has he been in the league now? Seven, eight,
nine.
Wow.
This is year nine.
That's okay. Been in eight. This is year nine, 9 years, Mrs. Bueller. So that's somebody you want to get a young tight end in to learn from right now. So yeah, it is a sneaky need. And I would love to see them use a high day three pick on that as well. Any other top 30s of late that you guys can put a finger on that would interest the people, defensive linemen, offensive linemen?
I mean, I believe as of this moment, Jaden Daniels is in there somewhere. So Jaden Daniels is here right now on his top 30 visit.
Go get him.
Get him on the pot. No.
Wait, whoa. It's a new era. Silos have been knocked down. Yeah. Gerard told us he wanted us to see things. Go get him.
Could you imagine? That would be electric. Yeah. This would be
in the old days, you would have been shot, but now you can feel free to chase him.
Wow. Is he a trespasser at Brady's wedding? Jeez.
I firmly believe in the old days he would have been shot if he started snooping around Jaden Daniels. But today,
one of the musket guys on the field.
Yeah.
So Jaden Daniels is here now. JJ McCarthy next week. Okay. And that is the only May last week, Daniels this week, JJ the week after. Those are the only three quarterbacks on the top 30 as of right now. And then Tyler Guyton was here last week. That's according to Mike Reese. So one of those dipping into the later first round offensive tackle prospect.
Big boy out of Oklahoma, correct? Or Houston?
Yes, correct.
Okay.
He's been my guy all along. See, I'm not a late arrival like all these others where it's like, oh, I suddenly like Drake May. Nope. Nope. I've been on Guyton for years. Gary Guyton's long lost.
You were also Jordan Morgan, though, too, weren't you?
Yeah, I kind of want either one of those. Those are my two athletic left tackle types that I'd be looking for.
Any receivers or backs that have
backs? Backs.
Come on, listen. You just called it a sneaky need.
We got Antonio Gibson bitching about the weather. What do we need a rookie back for?
I love that. I love the fact that he can't handle the cold weather already. And yes, people,
he did go to the Celtics though, so that's a good sign.
That's a very good sign as well. What do you guys think? This guy's definitely going to get. I wanted to hit on this real quick. Obviously, Chad Ryland gets drafted last year, fourth rounder. The fourth round punter, Bryce Behringer, has a solid season. He's here for a while. He's a long hauler. I think there's going to be camp competition for Chad Ryland. What do you guys think of, and I'm sure there's probably going to be a line of teams that are going to want to get this guy in camp. Jake Bates, this dude that's kicking for Michigan in the UFL, 64 yards one weekend, 62-yarder down the middle with leg to spare the second weekend. How many teams do you think will probably try to ask him or try to put a camp invite on that guy?
I'm sure he'll be popular. He will be. Now, there's a couple good kickers in this draft or rookie free agent class as well.
Yeah.
But I think the Patriots, you sort of hit on it. If I'm a guy like that, you're looking at a place where it's not just camp competition. It's competition. I can win this job. I'm not, you know, an emergency list guy. I'm not a preseason let Nick Folk keep his leg fresh kind of guy. If you come to New England, I think you're looking at the way Ryland played last year and saying, I could leave camp as the kicker. So, I mean, take that as whatever you see it. That's a positive for the kicker, but it might allow you to also get a better guy because he looks at the opportunity.
And with Belichick being gone, I feel like there's less of an incentive to keep Ryland around just because he was the fourth round pick. Like if Bill was still here and they miss on the pick, yeah, Wolf and Groh were in the front office, but that wasn't really their pick. So it doesn't really, I guess it doesn't really hurt as much if they find competition, someone beats him out and they let him go. So there should be a fire under his ass for his job because he wasn't great last year. And it would almost be irresponsible for them to not try and bring somebody else in to try and take his job.
Yeah, he legitimately could stay. I mean, Elliott, Wolf, Highsmith, especially Gerard Mayo, they're not beholden to beholden to Chad Ryland.
Right.
Yeah, like they don't owe him anything. So the job should be open. I mean, I think pretty much all jobs will be open. But you did mention that Juju Smith-Schuster was walking into the building yesterday.
Yeah.
What do we put the odds on him making the team and making contributions in 2024? Because I think a lot of Pats fans would have wondered if he would have either not been traded or just cut by this point.
I mean, I have a hard time at this point thinking that he's going to get cut just because of the money he does make. But it wouldn't shock me if they traded him at some point. I mean, if they bring in what they bring in at receiver, depending on what they see from DeMario Douglas and Kayshon Booty in camp, and they also have KJ Osborne, obviously, like if he ends up being the odd man out, yeah, they might try and trade him for something and get something back for him, see if they can get the contract off. I mean, look, I was a Juju proponent last year. We know that from this show. I was wrong. Look, it's tough with the money, because you don't want to just cut a guy like that. I think he can still contribute, but I don't think he's necessary on this team either. So it's kind of a weird thing with Juju, especially because of the contract.
Yeah, I think he'll be around just because of the contract slash a veteran. He's a proven kind of guy. I don't know how they'll work to maybe manage him and work through some things, and maybe you can get certain games where you kind of circle it. It's a Juju game for matchups or whatever reason. Now, I wouldn't count on him to go out and, play 17 games and catch 85 balls or anything but that. But, I mean, you have Kendrick Bourne coming off an ACL. You have DeMario Douglas, who's young and had his issues with head injuries last year. You have Kayshon Booty, who, I don't know, I wouldn't bet on him being on the roster, if you know what I'm saying. So there's a lot of... there's a lot of questions there. So you might, you know, Juju leaves a lot to be desired, especially for people like Mike, who really had, you know, upside thoughts about him, and you watch what Jakobi Meyers did, but he still is kind of a solid fallback plan B, whatever you want to call him at this point in his career, and you're paying him, so you might as well utilize it.
Yeah, somebody, who was it who just said, this was traveling the Twix yesterday, some veteran receiver was asked, who's the most underrated receiver in the NFL, and the answer was like that. They said Jakobi Meyers, and said
it was Devontae Adams on, wasn't that on the pod with Kraft?
I don't think that was on the shop. I think that may have been someone else as well. But yeah, mad love for Kobe, which is great, because, you know, how come we can't get players like that?
Well, Kirk Cousins also mentioned KJ Osborne.
I was just going to, it's like we all, it's perfect. Oh, I'm not saying it like shame on you. I'm just saying, like, wow, we're all starting to think like each other. What do you guys make of Kirk Cousins saying that KJ Osborne has the capacity to be better than a number three receiver? And it's just that he had to feed Hawk and Jefferson there. He thinks the moon of him. Andy, do you think they may have actually gotten maybe a good two or possible 1A in disguise?
I don't think they got a 1A in disguise. I think, is he maybe a little bit more than what he was based on opportunities and volume? Sure. I think he can be that. But I think he's still a role complementary. You're still looking for the centerpiece guy for him and others to work around. You know, even to the point, like, his production touchdown wise fell for three straight years. Like, even if you're a complimentary weapon, in theory, you're going to get opportunities like in the red zone when other teams are saying, no, I'm not letting Justin Jefferson score. I'm not letting TJ Hawkinson beat us. And he didn't really maximize those chances. So that's a double-edged sword. You know, will he have an opportunity? Sure. He might also see more coverage than he's used to. So you're going to have to beat him.
You guys want some fun breaking Patriots news?
I love fun breaking Patriots news.
Christian Gonzalez will officially be wearing jersey number 0 next season for the Patriots.
I'm glad you're breaking that, but I got into a fight with a bunch
of number 0.
I got into a fight with a bunch of douchebag trolls, you peoples, the other day, who were like, well, why'd you say Belichick's gone and now he can finally get his number? Because he wanted that number last year and Belichick wouldn't let him have that number. That's why. That is why. And now he's taking 0, and now that will be hopefully your second most popular jersey behind Drake May.
Yeah, I think that'll sell through the roof and off the charts.
Can I experiment something?
Highly logical.
If you guys can hear me when I leave the... Can you guys still hear me?
Yep.
Okay, but you can't see me. So we have a full list of jersey number updates. KJ Osborne, number 2. DeMario Douglas, number 3. Jakobi Brissett, number 14. Taki Taki, 16. Antonio Gibson, 21. And everyone else is kind of boring because it's the big guys. But
Jakobi Brissett doubling up on the 7 he wore when he was first back with the Patriots, going with the Steve Grogan 14. I like it.
Yep. Number 14 for Kobe.
Let's get him a neck roll while we're at it, too. He's probably going to need it next year. Guys, I don't think we've actually covered it here. It was the big breaking news over the weekend as well. Your reaction to Kyle Duggar's 4-year, $58 to $66 million deal coming off the transition tag with a guaranteed $32 million.
I'm fine with it. I don't love the player. I think he's a good, not great player. I think he's a liability in coverage. I think if you can fill that role, he will be a better player. You didn't break the bank for him. You certainly are living up to what I said when Elliot Wolf said, we want to draft, develop, and treat people right. And everybody was like, what's that, a shot at Bill? No. That was about treating people right financially and contract-wise and retaining your own people. And I think Kyle Duggar is a great guy for that. I don't think he's a super vocal leader, but I do think he's a core player leader behind the scenes. And for the price, I'm fine with it. I didn't want to overpay him and continue to lift the market. I think he kind of slotted in where he probably is. He might be a little overpaid, but for a team that is trying to build a culture and has a lot of money, you can do a little bit of overpayment and it's not a big deal.
Yeah, I like it. I mean, we talk about burn cash. They haven't burned cash. They had $100 million. They spent this. They spent, like, that's another 30 guaranteed to Kyle Duggar. Money that you had, a player that you wanted to retain. A player you clearly wanted to retain because you transition tagged him at first. Now you get it done. You make it across the finish line. I agree with you as the player, Andy. He's good. He's a good player on a good defense. He can be subject to some struggles in coverage, but that's stuff that you can always improve on, and you still need that sort of free roaming safety like Devin McCourty was here on this defense and pass coverage anyway. So long story short, I like the Duggar move. I think you had the money and you had to bring him back. So good on them for doing it.
Not sure if Bill would have made that kind of signing as well back in the day. He may have said, go out, figure out what you can get and come back to us. May have actually been a little less money at this point, but like you said, they were comfortable with the money that they had. They actually gave him an increase in average annual value above what the 13 and a half he would have gotten on the transition tag as well. So I'm fine with it. It's not my money. And more importantly, he is a good to sometimes very good player. Yes, susceptible to getting burned and cooked sometimes by backs and ends when he's in pass coverage, but he does make some big plays and he's a stout member of the back end of that defense. Now, hopefully in the draft, they can go get a free safety because that is something that they are lacking. Speaking of Bill Belichick, we'll wrap with this. Gentlemen, did you get a chance to watch any of the video of Matt Rhule talking about Bill Belichick coming in and serving up a 4.5-hour football guy speech and education session? Talk about the education of a coach with the Nebraska football program. He was brought in as a guest speaker. I think Matt Rhule thought he would do 30 minutes to an hour. He did over 4 hours, and Matt Rhule said he had to interrupt him at one point and say at the 3-hour mark, Coach, do you want a glass of water? I mean, is that not the most Bill Belichick thing you could have possibly heard?
Yeah, and it's expected. I mean, not only is that normal Bill, like passionate, let's just talk football, I can go forever, but the idea that he's few and far between maybe with some of those opportunities, so when he has a captive audience and that opportunity, like he's going to get everything he can out of it because he knows – a couple days later, he might be sitting by himself on Nantucket just talking to himself about football and scheme and things like that. Now, I will say, and that was a great story where, and Rhule added, like, he was like, Coach, you need to use the men's room? And he's like, because I really needed to use the men's room, and I was hoping he would have to, too. Like, I liked that story from Matt Rhule, who I don't always find likable. He goes back and forth. Sometimes I think he comes off as a colossal douche, and then sometimes I think he comes off as really likable. Maybe like me. But you said it, not me. Yep. This reaction that Albert Breer and others had that, like, it's so crazy that, you know, owners couldn't find, you know, didn't hire Belichick. And I'm like, are we just going to ignore that he's 72 years old? Like, yes, he's a living legend. Yes, he can tell stories, but to just turn the keys of your franchise over to him isn't as simple as these people make it to seem, especially if you have a coach in place, a mediocre coach or whatever. Like, people try to make it out to be like this simple decision to hire Bill Belichick. And I think it's anything but a simple decision.
And I also think, I mean, there was some notion that maybe the game had passed him by and that's why they had to move on here. I don't think that's the case. No. I still think he can coach for 2, 3, maybe 4 seasons. But you're right, Andy. It's not a turnover a rebuilding franchise to this guy. It's turnover a ready-made roster to this guy. And there weren't that many this offseason in the cycle that opened up. So the story itself was amazing. Like, it was perfect. Yes. And I love, again, 4.5 hours in front of these guys, not stopping, almost offended that Rhule asked him for a glass of water. He was like, I'm fine, Matt. Like, what do you mean? Like, it was great. And it does show you that he's still ready to coach and he's probably going to coach again, maybe next year. Even if it's for a year or two. So no, it's a good story. And even people coming in and saying that, oh, this is why the Patriots shouldn't have let him go. Like, I think most of us can agree that it was time here and it's time for something new. And it's okay that, you know, he can still go talk about coaching for 4.5 hours and maybe he'll do it somewhere else, be successful, but it was time for them to move on here. And I think everybody's sort of on that page.
And guys, I know this is a Patriots podcast, but we are all Boston sports fans of varying degrees and magnitudes, and we're fired up for hopefully deep playoff runs for the Celtics and the Bruins as well. Bruins are on fire right now, so are the Celtics. The Red Sox are, we're doing this podcast T-minus an hour from the start of opening day at Fenway. And good news, everyone, Nick Pivetta to the injured list with right elbow inflammation and Trevor Story officially done for the season. But it was a fun 10 games.
Yep. See you next year.
Andy, you're going to have a great time tearing into that tonight on the Rich Keefe Show.
Trevor Story hurt? Who could have ever seen that coming?
Tough, too. Like, Story was having a good offseason, good year. And that game 3, whatever it was, bang. And it's like he's just made of rubber again.
It's Chris Sale.
Too bad.
It's Chris Sale all over again. Like,
it's JD Drew and Chris Sale, yeah.
Do I think Trevor Story wants to play and wants to be good and works hard? And, like, yeah, all of that. Like, I feel bad, but it is what it is. You know, can't make the club from the tub, can't help the club from
the tub. It is similar to Chris Sale, you're right, because Sale was the same guy. Like, balls to the wall, wants to play, competes his ass off. And then 3 days in, he's going in for another TJ. And it's like, come on, dude. Like, and it's not his fault. And that's the tough part. So,
this one is even, I know Chris Sale had some of his like off field fall off the bike. I mean, this is Trevor Story making a play at shortstop, like being aggressive, athletic.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this is the definition of you play the game. It's like that UFL star destroying who made a big tackle over the weekend and fractured his neck. And now he's done for the season. Like,
he's on IR.
It's a violent sport. What are you going to do?
Yep.
All right, boys. Great pod today. Mike, thanks for taking some time to join us fresh outside the stadium of the info from the Hunters and Peppers.
Go find Daniels.
Yes.
Yeah, we'll go get Jaden. Emergency
we'll,
six.
We'll let you go. See if you can squeeze a couple with Jaden back in the stadium. We'll keep you guys updated.
Is it windy there?
Not terribly.
Oh, okay. Because I heard a little wind on your microphone, and I was worried that if he stepped outside, he'd blow away.
Oh, that's him. He's down by the ground round.
All right, everybody. That's the end of the podcast. We apologize. Well, the views of Andy Hart do not represent everyone at WEI Odyssey 2400 Sports. Great podcast, boys. Take care of yourselves. He's at Jumbo Hart. He's the Pickle Pizza Party himself at Mike Hedlick, and I'm at Fitzy GFY. There'll be more prospect pods to come. Don't forget, T-minus just over 2 weeks till the draft party. And man, we can't wait. We'll keep you up to date with the latest and greatest news, notes, and more from Pats Nation each and every day here on Six Rings. Until then, thanks for listening. And as always, good day. God bless and go Pats.